He's always about reforming. He's always about renewing. And things never stay the same. Sometimes it hurts when things are not the same. I like consistency. And God is consistent, but life is not. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Growing up in the Baptist church, all you Baptists, high five out there. I used to love Easter because we would do the cantata. And Gloria Gaither, and they would write those wonderful cantatas. You know, what's that I hear? I still hear that music. They try to drown it out. And finally, they nailed that music to the tree, and you heard the music still playing. And I started thinking about when I became a Christian and what a change it made in my life, because I really didn't know the Lord before then. I thought God was up there and that if I was good enough, I would go to heaven. And it wasn't until I realized that none of us are good enough, and that's why we need Him. And then Easter is about the blood, because on Good Friday, He was killed. But on Sunday, He rose again. And Mary was there weeping at the tomb. And she's sitting there crying, and all of a sudden, Jesus is like, why are you weeping? And so many of us are at the tomb weeping, and God is saying, why are you weeping? There is newness and there's resurrection power in your life. You may not feel it, but faith and feeling are two totally different things. Faith is in truth. Feeling is in emotions. Your faith has to be rooted in the truth. And that's resurrection power. I'm sure there are times the disciples did not feel like doing things. I'm not feeling that move. I'm not feeling those chills. I'm not feeling that wave of anointing. They just had to plow through everyday life and tell other people about Jesus Christ. That's really Christianity. It's great when we have those Holy Spirit moves and those bumps and those feelings, but that's not really Christianity. It's proclaiming resurrection power. So today is Resurrection Sunday. In Romans 10:9, Paul says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, many of us have heard that. If you're a good Baptist, I'm going all Baptist today, the Roman road. Did you remember the Roman road? That was one of the scriptures. And you were saved. That word saved has a negative connotation in a lot of people's heads and hearts. But think about it this way. Let's bring it to 2017 technology. I'm a file. And I have all of these things that I've put into my file over my life. All of these experiences, who I am, every emotion that I have, everything that God made me to be, and He saves that. You see, I'm saved to Him. It's not saved from something. I'm saved to His hard drive. Or let's say His cloud, and I can't be removed. So I'm saved to Jesus. We don't win people by preaching hell. We win people by telling them God's grace and mercy will save you to Him. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. And that is resurrection power. That is what Easter is, or Resurrection Sunday is. Easter is actually a pagan holiday, but we'll say Resurrection Sunday. But again, that's legalism. So we say Easter all you want. We can even color eggs. I don't care about that. I was in a church one time and I said, coloring eggs is from pagans. But God can redeem anything. Why do we think He can't redeem those things? I think it's wonderful that we can take something from the pagan world and say, you know what? God redeems this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that resurrection took place, and that is a fact. Now, there were two groups that argued about resurrection even before we ever came into the picture. And I'm not talking about the Catholics and the Baptists or the Methodists or the Pentecostal. There were two groups, two religious groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. That's why they were sad, you see. They did not believe in the resurrection. But the Pharisees get a bum rap. Because you see, the Pharisees went by the law, but they were under the Old Testament. So really, they were trying to do the best. Now, we are living from a New Testament perspective, so we just crucify the Pharisees all the time. But they were trying to do what God said to do in the law. And it wasn't until Jesus came to show them it can't be done. Every one of the Ten Commandments, you may say, you know what, I've only broken five. No, you haven't. You've broken all ten. I've never killed anybody. If you thought it in your head, you did it. You may not have committed adultery, but maybe you were thinking about it. You did it. We've done all of the ten, and we have probably done 11 and 12 and 13, some of us. But God put those commandments up to let us know we can't do it on our own. That we need a Messiah, and his name was Jesus. That's all the Ten Commandments was to do, to point us to know that we needed a Savior. That's resurrection. In the Greek, there's a word, there's two words used for resurrection. The first is exoupnizo. And that is really resuscitation. It thinks about, if you think about when someone was dead, like Lazarus, when he was dead, Jairus' daughter, they were in the tomb, and God gave them resurrection. He resuscitated them. That's one word. That's not the word used when you talk about Jesus' resurrection. See, Greek is more particular than English. We say resurrection power. But that's not really just resuscitation of your body. That word was anastas. And that meant full resuscitation, but also meant full restoration. It wasn't just the body coming up. It's everything that was lost was now being restored. Remember the curse? Adam and Eve walked in perfect harmony with God until sin entered into their life. He came in, didn't look like a serpent. I'm guaranteeing you he looked really beautiful. That crazy devil. Of course, Adam blamed the woman, but he had a choice in it. And all of that was stolen from them. But by the resurrection, it's all restored. You can walk with God in the same way they walked with God. You can hear his voice. So you know you can hear God's voice. But when we can't, it's us. And we just need to get our tuner in tune with him. How do I do that? Get into worship. Get into the word. Get into prayer. And develop that in-tuneness. Sometimes I'm on the wrong channel. My mind is going, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm on AM right now. I need to go to God's channel. That's restoration. The cross did that and restitution. You see, what was stolen from you, because of the resurrection power, is going to be paid back. I claim that over and over again. Resurrection power. There were four things that Anastasis gives us. The first is it gives us power. We are not powerless. Some of us feel like we're powerless, but you are not powerless. The word tells us in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him in the what? Power of his resurrection. We always take this to be a negative point in this scripture. Because it goes on to say, fellowship of his sufferings. But Paul was saying, knowing him in the power of his resurrection. Do you know that power? I just wish you could see what I'm trying to say in the spirit, that you're not powerless. When things come your way, you have power to face those things through faith. You are not powerless. And then in Acts 1, it tells us really what the power is for. It says, but you will receive, what's the word? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and Atlanta and to the ends of the earth. That's really what the power is for. And you know what that word power is in Greek? It's dunamis. Anybody know what that means? Dynamite. J.J. Walker, those who are my age. Dynamite. It is not a little power. It's blowing things up. Blowing establishments, blowing up the same routine, blowing up the law, blowing up the curse. It's blowing it up because you have that power inside of you. He goes on to say that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You have that dynamite power inside of you. You're just a keg waiting to blow up in the spirit. I've seen places where religion and performance have permeated an atmosphere. You know where I went to Bible college. Some of you do. So, and everything was perfect. I mean, the singers, they all had perfect pitch. Wouldn't that be amazing if all your singers had perfect pitch? The only problem was it was perfect. It wasn't anointed. I'm going to say that again. It was perfect. It was perfect. It was not anointed. And the anointing is what breaks the yoke. See, that can't be taught. That is imparted. But they had the singers, and they all had the matching dresses and the matching tie, and they were taught to do the certain moves, and it looked so polished and perfect, and nothing was ever really done. And there was this one little girl from West Virginia, little power keg girl, came out with a humble spirit and just wanted to praise the Lord. And she started singing, How Great Thou Art. And the place fell to their knees and started weeping. Her voice wasn't perfect. Her dress was definitely not perfect. But the power was there and the anointing was there. And God spoke to me and said, don't ever, ever, ever substitute performance for the anointing. Because the anointing brings death, and brings life, and the performance brings death. Resurrection power is anointing. It's a dunamis power that blows. You've got it, Pastor Deb. When you start praising, you feel that power. Do you feel that when she sings? It's not the same anointing as Lorda. You have another type of power. And when you put them together, amazing. But all of you have different types of power. Claudia, amazing. What a beautiful, gentle spirit, and your voice was just beautiful in that. But that's power. That's anointing. And those are the things that shake up the established for God. And it also gives us life. The same spirit who raised Onesimus Christ from the dead lives in you. So wherever we go, we have that resurrection power. It's living in you and dwelling in you. And he says he will quicken your mortal body. And then the third thing, resurrection gives hope. Oh, do we need hope? I need hope. Do you need hope? God, give us hope. Give us hope. And he keeps saying, you have hope. No, I feel hopeless. You know why? Because I get discouraged by people. I get discouraged a lot of times by people. I hear a lot of things, and I hear a lot of negative over and over again, and it's discouraging. So I have to put myself into the hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where I have to rest with resurrection power. He is my hope, and there's always hope. You may feel hopeless, but there's always hope. A couple of weeks ago, my mom called me, and they never call me, especially when I see dad sell, I'm like, there's a problem. And so I saw that come up, dad sell, I'm like, okay. And mom says, don't get worried, we're at the hospital. They think your dad has a kidney stone. And I said, oh, okay, that's bad, but it's not life-threatening. And I said, okay. She said, I'll let you know what they're saying. We're in the emergency room, we're waiting to see a doctor. She goes, he's thrown up, he's really sick. And my dad doesn't ever get sick. And as soon as I hung up, I just heard God say, you need to go. And I heard it so clearly. And I told Ed, I said, I have to go. So I started packing a bag. And at that time, my cousin calls me for a completely different reason. She's going on a cruise and wanted to ask me a question. And she goes, what are you doing? And she lives in New Orleans, right by my parents. And I said, I'm actually packing a bag to go home. My dad's in the hospital. And she said, what hospital? I said, Covington. She goes, I'm on the way. Because she's like 10 minutes from there. She's a nurse. She calls me a little while later while I'm at the airport. And she says, you need to get here as soon as you can because he's becoming septic and it doesn't look good. Because he's not a Christian. I had to say, God, I'm not letting this happen. I can tell him the hope. Not until I can get there and say, you need to make a choice. Well, God did even better than that. When I got there, my cousins were all there, and I walked in, and it was late at night, like 11 o'clock. We don't know what they're going to do. And the doctor came in, and he said, you have a choice. It's not a kidney stone. You have a blockage here. My dad said, well, what choice do I have if I don't have surgery? He said, you'll die. In 2 days, you'll be dead. So my dad went into surgery, but I had this hope. I mean, in the midst of all of this, I have this hope that God is there. And I'm praying, God, I just need you to just speak to me. And you know, have you ever been in the hospital? I don't know if you work there, but the people that do the blood work, the phlebotomist, they come in at all hours. I hear somebody walk in, and she goes, I'm here to take your blood. I'm like, I know that voice. Now, I am in Covington, Louisiana. The lights are low. My dad's sleeping. My mom's there. And I said, what's your name? And her back is to me. She says, my name is Tina. And I'm like, we're Facebook friends. She was at the church in the gathering place in New Orleans. I knew her from there. And she's a phlebotomist. This is the dad that I've been praying for? I'm like, yeah. They talk about God. So that gave me the hope that God is in this. And lo and behold, last week, my dad is now got his stitches out at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 11 o'clock in the morning, he's on the road to go to work. 82, you just can't imagine. But Christ gave me the hope through those situations. He is our hope in glory. I don't worry about death anymore. I mean, death, where is your sting? It's swallowed up in victory. That is our hope. And then the final one, it gives us justification. It says, he who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and sin was raised to life in order to secure our justification and acquittal. Have you ever seen somebody on trial that was guilty but got acquitted? Right here. No more can be charged with that crime because it was, that's what it is. You're justified. And then it says this, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties repeatedly. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, talking about Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. He paid the ultimate sacrifice of sin. No more was the blood of bulls and goats going to be needed. He did it all. And that's resurrection power. When I was in the country of Peru, I saw near the Spanish Inquisition, they had this museum. And they had photos on the wall. And they talked about how they had a judicial system back then. And if you had sinned, you wore a robe. And if it was just a misdemeanor, or not really a major sin, the robe was half black and the rest was white. As you did more things that were more guilty, the black, it got longer. Until finally, those who had committed murder or adultery, completely black. And they would have a trial. And every time that they would have a trial, at the end of the verdict, they would take out the person who was either found guilty or innocent and parade them around the city in those robes. So you always knew that's the murderer, that's the fornicator, that's the robber, that's the thief. You always knew their sins. But when someone was found acquitted, they would remove that old robe of sin and put on a white robe. And they would put that person on a donkey and they would parade that person around the city so everyone can say, this person is found not guilty. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's justification, and that's acquittal, and that's resurrection power. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that He lives. Do you?
Taught the sun where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon where to hide to leave men, whose words alone can catch a falling star. Gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let our creation
you. Hallelujah. He's alive. Amen. Stand to your feet. That's the message for today. He's not dead. He's alive.